because these series of messages that we're starting for these next few weeks is going to focus on what is known as the seven I am statements of Jesus. That all throughout the scripture, especially in the book of John, so we're going to be in the book of John really for the next few weeks, Jesus makes these different claims of who he is, these declarations of who he is to show who he is as King of Kings, as Savior of the world, as the one in which no one can be compared. And he makes these profound statements of truth. And they're statements that evoke confidence, and they're statements that evoke superiority, that evoke power. And so as he talks about these different I am statements, saying I am this and I am that, I'm excited because for these next few weeks, we are starting this new series that we are simply calling I'm Him. I'm Him. Somebody say I'm Him. That's what we're going to be talking about for these next few weeks. And some of you who might not be familiar with that terminology, it is a phrase that you oftentimes hear in the sports world, or somebody who is very superior as an athlete, somebody like a LeBron James or a Stephon Diggs and or a Steph Curry or Sue Bird in the WNBA, whatever the case may be, and they are dominating things. And one of the things that is oftentimes popular when they say things to evoke who they are as the superior athlete is they say, I'm him. I'm him. I'm her. And some of y'all need to get that in your spirit because Jesus is saying, I'm him. And if you connected to me, you got what I got. You got power because you connected to me. So for these next 7 weeks, we're going to look at the things that Jesus says. We're going to get a clear picture of who Jesus is and help us to see how he is exactly who he says he is. I'm excited about it because I feel like for the next few weeks, I'm going to be bragging on Jesus in a crazy way. It's going to be like a sanctified swag and talking about Jesus. And so we're going to kick off this series by going to the book of John chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. And I'm going to ask us just to stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. We're going to look at this passage of scripture here. But I feel like this message is very intentional by the Lord to get us started. And I'm excited about it today because I feel like if you get this message, just get radically changed and transform your life. If you're a young person, I need you to get this message. If you're a college student, I need you to get this message. If you're older in age, I need you to get this message. But here in John chapter 4, starting at verse 4, reads like this. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." I want to jump down now to verse 25, verse 26. We're going to look at most of this passage of scripture. But here in verse 25 and verse 26, Jesus says this. I want you to pay attention to it. Y'all ready? The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." I'm him. Somebody say, I'm him. I don't know about y'all. I'm so giddy about this, y'all. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we kick off this new series, I'm Him. I want to preach from this theme and thought, the search is over. Come on, tell the person beside you, the search is over. Search is over. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would help us to see your son Jesus in a way that we've never seen him before. Lord, help us right now in this moment, not just to hear words, but to hear your word. I pray that you would root out distractions, anything that the enemy would try to use to get us out of a place of focus, of hearing from you. We decrease so that, Jesus, you might increase. We thank you. We love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. The search is over. I want you to share the stream, share the message with somebody, text somebody right now, tell them you need to tune in right now because they need this. The search is over. Family, I don't know about y'all, but I think here's one thing that we can all probably agree on. All of us, every person is searching for something in some way. Everybody say everybody. Now, many of us might push back against that train of thought, but I want to actually prove it to you because I recently found this statistic that I wanted to share with you all to kind of prove this, and it's connected to something we're very familiar with called Google. And I found some interesting statistics when it came to Google. One was this, that Google is the most visited website of all websites online. It is literally a search engine. And here were some numbers that I found about Google. That Google processes over 99,000 searches per second. Per second. That's a lot of searching. But check this out. What that equates to is 8.5 billion searches per day. Now, mind you, there's 7 billion people estimated in the world. And if there's 8 billion Google searches per day, then we could argue that that is at least one search for every one person. So even on a technological scale, here's what this shows us. Everybody is searching for something. Everybody. Somebody say everybody. Everybody's searching for something. Some of y'all Googled instructions how to get to the Bridge Church this morning. Some of y'all Googled the Bridge Church online to watch online. Some of us have Googled how to do your hair this week. You've Googled how to fix a flat tire. And you've Googled how to cook this week. And come on. Ain't no shame in the game. Many of us have Googled. Many of us have Googled many things. How much is tuition at this campus and at that campus? And how much is this house cost? And you've Googled different websites of different kinds. All of us have Googled different things. But do you want to know what the most searched keyword in 2022 was? I thought this was profound. It wasn't even Jesus. It wasn't a food. It wasn't a car. It was Wordle. Exactly. Wordle? Now, how many of y'all know what Wordle is? See, most of us don't even have a clue. I don't even have a clue what Wordle is. I didn't even want to look it up for real. But from my understanding, it's a game of some sort. Now, I play 2K and Xbox and PS. I don't know nothing about this Wordle and all that, you know. But evidently, it was something that was extremely in high demand to the point where it was the most searched keyword in all of the Google database. I thought that was crazy because I thought it would be something like, what's my purpose? And is God real? You know, I thought it would be something really deep. No. Very simple. A game. But nonetheless, here's what this principle, once again, I want to bring us back to, shows us, is that everybody is searching for something. And I want to ask you a question. What are you searching for? If there was a Google search bar for your life that was connected to your heart, what would the search history in the browser of your heart look like? What are you searching for? What are you looking for? And when I think about that, it brings me here to John chapter 4. Because here in John chapter 4, in this account, Jesus and his disciples are traveling to a place called Galilee after many people were being baptized. It talks about that in the early part of here, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And as Jesus is on this road of ministry and going to Galilee after this incredible series of baptizing people. And as I mentioned, baptism is a public display of a personal decision to follow Jesus. I like to say that it is the wedding band of the Christian faith. It doesn't make me saved, but it shows that I'm saved. This don't make me married, but it shows that I'm married. And so you have baptisms that are happening here. And interesting, as Jesus is making his way to Galilee, something profound happens. The Bible says that he had to go through Samaria. And as he gets to Samaria, the Bible mentions here early on in verse 2 and verse 3 that he sits down after being tired from the journey. I love how the scripture shows us not just the divine side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the humanity aspect of Jesus. That he's 100% God incarnate and 100% man. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that we have a high priest who can sympathize and empathize with our weaknesses. So if you're tired, Jesus knows what that feels like as well. I thank God that we got a Savior that can relate to us. I thank God that we got a Savior who can identify with our struggles. Never sinned. He never fell short of the glory of God, because if he did, he wouldn't be able to be who he is as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But he experienced all of the things that we experience. And the Bible says that he goes to Samaria and he sits down after being tired from walking from where he was to Samaria. Now, the geographical distance from where he was to now Samaria, theologians have said that that's about a two-day journey by foot. Now, that's a long time to be walking. Some of us got a problem sitting in 30 minutes of traffic in a car. Could you imagine walking 2 days to get to where you're trying to go to? He's not on a horse. He's not on a camel. He's not on a donkey. He got his good old Jesus sandals. And he's walking, and he's tired. And he gets to this place called Sychar in the Samaritan village. And upon him stopping here, he encounters this woman. And the Bible says it's a Samaritan woman. And now through the conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman, here's what we're getting ready to see. We're getting ready to see something about her, that she is seeking and searching for something in her own way. She's looking for something. She's searching. And for the first few verses of this chapter, we see her interaction with Jesus. We see this conversation of Jesus. And the story that we see here is that she is a woman who is lacking something in some way. She's trying to find something. She's searching for something to satisfy her, which I believe resonates with all of us. I believe that all of us, I want you to write this down, all of us are searching for fulfillment in some way. The first thing that we see happening in this text is representative of our search for fulfillment. Everybody say fulfillment. I want you to notice what's happening here in this passage of scripture. The Bible says that the Samaritan woman comes to this well to draw water, and it's at the same time that Jesus finds himself at this well. And the Bible says that it is noon. Now, if you just look at this on the surface, you would just think that that's just any time. No, this is a very critical element that John mentions here in this text. Because noon was considered to be the hottest time of the day. And no person in their right mind in that day and time would come to try to draw water from a well at the hottest juncture of the day. So right now, off the bat, what this shows us is that for this woman to come to the well at the hottest time of the day, there's something different happening here. She goes during a time where nobody is at the well. Could she be avoiding someone? Could she be avoiding something? Could there be something more than what actually meets the eye? Why would she do this? Because more than likely, as we're getting ready to see in this passage of scripture, there was some, can I say it like this? There were some questions about her character. She had a reputation in this village. Because as we'll see in a moment, she had been in multiple relationships with different men through the years. Matter of fact, Jesus says later on that she had been married 5 times. And the guy that she was with now was not her husband. Is this making sense? So more than likely, her character has been called into question. And she is possibly doing everything she can to not interact with anybody that would put her in a compromising or uncomfortable position to highlight some of the questionable maybe decisions or things that have happened in her life. Can I ask you a question? Have you gone out of your way sometimes in your search of trying to experience fulfillment? Have you gone out of your way to try to satisfy yourself? Have you gone out of your way to find fulfillment? Have you bypassed certain things to try to fill this void that's in your soul and that's in your heart? I believe all of us in here are on a search to experience fulfillment. And if we can be honest, we've been in this position just like this woman. We don't know her name, but we know a little bit about her story. Just a tad bit. And what we see here is that she is experiencing this desire to be fulfilled. And when you jump down to verse 13, I want you to see what this says, what Jesus says here. After they're having this conversation, Jesus asks for a drink of water. And he says, can you give me a drink? And the Bible says that she says in verse 9, how is it that you, a Jew, ask somebody, me who's a Samaritan, for a drink? Because Jews don't associate with Samaritans. She's at the well to get something to drink. Jesus showed up at the well, apparently, to get something to drink. But with Jesus, is always more than what meets the eye. With Jesus, it's never just what's happening on the surface. It's always something beneath the surface. But she's coming here thirsty. And she's coming here trying to fulfill this desire. But notice what Jesus says in verse 13. Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Jesus says anybody who comes to this well, they're going to have to keep coming back, because this is not going to satisfy them. They'll be thirsty again. But then notice how later on he brings up in their conversation her relationships. When you look at verses 15 through 19, notice what the Bible says. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. She said, I'm tired of this. You say you got something better. All right, let me get it. But watch what Jesus says. Verse 16. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. That's kind of crazy that Jesus would say that, because clearly he already knows. Watch verse 17. I don't have a husband. The Bible says, she answered. Watch what Jesus says. Verse 17. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband. You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. I don't know about y'all. If I'm this woman, this is a very uncomfortable conversation. I ain't never met this man a day in my life. How he know? How's he pulling receipts on me? How is he able to? How he know this? Could you imagine? See, they don't spread rumors about me again. Maybe imagine what's going on in her mind. How does he know this? He done called me out on my own past and even my sin right now. Because he's right. The brother I'm with right now, he's my man, but he ain't my husband. Sir, the woman replied, verse 19, I see that you're a prophet. I don't know how you know this. But then watch verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that this place to worship is in Jerusalem. The Bible says she has had five husbands who either, we don't know her story, but her husbands may have died or they may have divorced her. And the person that she's currently with, Bible says, is not her husband. And here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is confronting her in her sin. And it's interesting because the woman goes to the same well each day to be filled. But what we're also seeing is that this woman went from relationship to relationship to be filled. Y'all see it? That what's happening on the surface is simply a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual. And oftentimes what happens is we will try to satisfy spiritual longings with surface resources. And it leaves us longing for more. I want you to write this down. That spiritual voids can't be fulfilled through natural means. There is a spiritual void that you and I have in our soul that you and I cannot fill through natural means. She's trying to fill her life, but her life is still filling a void. And I want to ask us a question today. What wells are you drinking from to experience fulfillment, even though you're still not experiencing fulfillment? What wells are you drinking from? What are you looking to fill you up? Because I think like this woman, we're often looking to experience fulfillment and satisfaction in many different ways, and we're often trying to find fulfillment in things that don't ultimately fill us. So for her, it was water and relationships, and both left her longing for more. And we oftentimes think that the answer and the solution to the cravings of our soul is surface things in our life. But what we don't realize is that it leaves us longing for more. So for her, it was water and a relationship. For you, it might be a job. If I just get this job, I feel more satisfied. For some of us, it might be a new relationship. That if I just get with this person, if I can just get with somebody, I'll feel more complete. Let me help you understand something. The only one who can complete you is Jesus. And in him, you are already complete. But as long as you begin to look to these external sources to satisfy you and to fulfill you, you will constantly come back to the well over and over and over again. For some of us, it's a bigger house. If I just get a bigger house, I'll be satisfied. You said that 2 houses ago. For some of us, it was a pay increase, but you said that 3 times ago. And what I'm trying to help us understand, the answer to fulfillment is not more of something. The answer to fulfillment is not that I would get all the natural things that I am looking for. It is not about getting more status. For some of us, we think it's sexual fantasies. For some of us, we think that it's more people following us on social media. I'm here to let you know that the more you go to those wells to satisfy you, the more you will be hungry, and the more you will be thirsty, and the more you will be empty, and the more you will be frustrated, and the more you will be sleepless, having sleepless nights, and you will be upset, and you will be discouraged, and you will feel defeated. You will go there over and over and over again because it's never enough to satisfy you. And this woman was going to this well regularly, over and over, to experience some type of fulfillment, some type of satisfaction. But the good news is this, that in spite of us searching for fulfillment, as I like to say, through people, platforms, and possessions that leave us longing for more to no end, there is hope that though we have been searching for things and fulfillment, Jesus has also been searching for us. I love the fact that in spite of us spending our lives chasing things, Jesus has spent all of time and all of eternity to chase after us. And the reason why that you are here today, after some of the things that you've walked through, after some of the discouragement that you've walked through, is not because you're that good. It's because you had a God who was chasing after you, and he was searching you, and he was coming after you. The reason why you were able to make it through the dark period in your life is because Jesus was coming after you. He was searching after you. He was looking for you. He was longing for you. He had you on his mind. He had you on his heart. Jesus has always been searching for you. I like what David says in Psalm 23, verse 6. He says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, which means this: his goodness has been following you. His mercy has been following you. His love has been following you. His protection has been following you. His forgiveness has been following you. And I just want to know, is anybody glad about the fact that Jesus has been searching for you? He's been Googling for you. He's been looking for you. He's been coming after you. So while you were searching for one thing, Jesus was searching for you. And I love that the text helps us to see this. Because this woman, she was searching to experience fulfillment. But here Jesus is searching to extend fulfillment. So here's two things that you see in this passage, because everybody's searching for something. She is searching to experience fulfillment. Jesus is searching to extend it. How do we see this? Because I want you to go back up to around verse 3 or verse 4. It says this: Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to. Now, if we just read this scripture in this text, and once again, don't do any type of deep biblical study, you would think that Samaria was the only route to get to where he was trying to go. But if you look at a map from where he was to where he was going, there was other ways to get to his destination that did not involve going through and to Samaria. He could have actually went around Samaria, which was something that most Jews back in that time did. And the reason why was because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They didn't even want to be in the same room around each other. You want to talk about racism and racial tension in our day and time? What we see in today's time had nothing on what was going on in their day and time. Racism ain't nothing new. The Jews hated the Samaritans hated the Jews, and Jews would oftentimes, in their route to Galilee, would go around Samaria, even though it took longer. They would go out of their way to avoid Samaritans. But that's not what Jesus does. He goes out of his way to get to Samaria because there was somebody there that he had on his mind. I love the fact that this text helps us to see that Jesus is intentional with how he moves. He said, oh, no. We're not going to go around Samaria. We're going to go to Samaria. Because I got somebody there that I know is longing for something. That's why the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. It was an assignment. It was a divine calling. He had to go through Samaria. It was a very intentional decision on Jesus' part. Why? Because as we notice here, remember what she said, Jesus is a Jew. And Jews and Samaritans did not have anything to do with each other. Matter of fact, when Jesus asked, hey, can you pour me something to drink? Her response was, how can you ask me for a drink? Because oftentimes Jews wouldn't even want to drink from the same cup or even have any type of close contact because they believed that Samaritans were unclean people and that if you came in contact with unclean people, you yourself would become unclean. But Jesus says, I'm so good, I can drink from the same cup that you're drinking from and not even be intoxicated and not even be impure. No, when I drink from this cup, you're going to change, not me. And what I love about this is that even though these Jews and Samaritans hated each other, there was religious differences, there were racial differences, they despised each other. What does Jesus do by talking to this woman? He is breaking down cultural barriers. He is breaking down racial barriers. He's even breaking down gender barriers. Because not only would Jews not talk to Samaritans, but you sure enough did not have a well-respected Jewish rabbi talking to a woman. Which is why later on here in John chapter 4, after their conversation, the disciples pull back up on them after they went to go search for some food. You notice how everybody's searching for something, right? After they go and find some food, they come back and they see him talking to her. They're like, yo, what's going on? We don't deal with their kind. They confused. But Jesus, we Jewish. We don't roll like that. No, you don't roll like that. I do. I came to break down barriers, not strengthen them. I came down from heaven to earth to tear down dividing walls of racism and division. It's interesting here because Jesus is very intentional. And earlier we saw her search representing our search to experience fulfillment, but now we see his search to extend fulfillment. So I want us to go back to verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. When you jump back down to verse 14, it says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know what Jesus is saying? I got what you need. You've been looking for satisfaction for so long and fulfillment for so long. You're not going to find it apart from me. Do you want to keep coming back to this well, which represents the condition of your life? Do you want to keep going back to all these other sources to fill you up? Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you frustrated with that? How much longer do you want to continue to live in this condition? He says, listen, if you connect with me and receive what I have, it'll bring forth transformation. And then when you jump down to verses 20 through 26, and I want you to see what the text says. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. Here's what he meant by that. He meant that salvation was coming through the Jewish people, which obviously we're seeing fulfilled in him. But an hour, verse 23, is coming and is now here. Watch this. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I want you to see this next part. The Father, these are the kind of people that he seeks. They are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Oh, I love how John sets this up. So you see the woman seeking something. You see Jesus searching for something. And you see the Father searching for something. This is the biggest Google search in human history. You see that there is an earthly search. And then there's also an eternal search. And the Father, Jesus says, God the Father, is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Can I say it like this? Here's what Jesus is trying to help us to see. The Father is looking for people that he can feel. The Father sent me here on assignment to find people who are thirsty and hungry and empty and desperate and are in need, because those are the people who are ready to receive the fulfillment that only he can give. He says he's looking for these people. I'm looking for people who are hungry. I'm looking for people who are thirsty, and Jesus wants to offer her living water in the form of eternal life and salvation from her sin. Here's what this is helping us to see. It helps us to see that Jesus wants to give us his abundant life. But I want you to go back to what he said in verse 10. You can have this if you ask for it. Can I say this? How many of us are missing out on what God has for us simply because we won't ask? We simply won't ask. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the question is, are we in this position where we can ask him what things? Here's a question and a thought that I wrestle with on a regular basis when it comes to my own personal faith. What things does Jesus have on reserve for me that I'm missing out simply because I won't ask him? What grace am I missing out on simply because I won't ask? Because of arrogance or because of pride or because I'm good. I got this. I can do this on my own. I've gotten to the place and time right now in my life, family, where I say, I can't do this on my own anymore. I'm tired of trying to fulfill myself. I need this living water. I need this grace. I need God's goodness. And I just want to know, is anybody here today that's sick and tired of trying to fill yourself up with things of this world? I need what only Jesus can give me. And by the end of their exchange, notice what happens. The Father wants such people, verse 23, to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus says in his last verse and his response, I, the one speaking to you, I'm he. I'm him. You've been looking for the Messiah. The Messiah is looking right at you. I'm him. Look no further. The search is over. Everything that you've been looking for is found in him. Some of you have been looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. It's only found in him. Some of us, you've been looking for contentment in this source and in this person. It's only found in Jesus. Some of us have been looking for fulfillment through getting more accolades and having more degrees up on the wall and having more bank account numbers and more zeros in our bank account. Some of us have been looking for fulfillment in this place and in that place. And Jesus is saying, you won't find it in any other place. You will find it in me. I'm him. I'm him. That's what he's saying. And in verses 20 through 24, he goes deeper with this invitation because he says God is looking for people who are in need and who are searching and who are longing. He says God is spirit. What does he mean by God is spirit? It means that God is invisible to the natural eye. And because of such, he's not limited to time and space, which means this, that our worship of him is not limited to a Sunday morning. But my worship of him can take place on a Sunday. It can take place on a Monday. It can take place in my car. It can take place on my job. It can take place in my house. It can take place in my bathroom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. He can always be accessible. He can always be called on. He can always be reached out to. Why? Because he is the great I am. He is the one who satisfies us. He is the one who fulfills us. And God is saying, if you would just tap into me, you will find everything that you need. Our fulfillment is not found outside of Christ. Our fulfillment is found in Christ. And the good news about this passage is that it reveals that while we've been seeking all kinds of things to fill us, Jesus has been seeking us so that he can fill us. So he says this in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save. Jesus is looking for people to save. He's looking for people to fill. He's looking for the thirsty and the hungry. Here's what Psalm 107, verses 8 through 9 says. It says this, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Verse 9, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Some of y'all are in here and you are thirsty from the things of life right now. And you are hungry. And you are trying to satisfy that thirst and you're trying to quench that thirst with all different types of things and it ain't working. Jesus says, I'm the one that has what you need. That apart from me, you can't find it. And I believe that many of us in here, we're hungry and we're thirsty. We're searching. We're searching for fulfillment. We're searching for joy. We're searching for peace. We're searching for protection. We're searching for stability. And you're trying to find these things in all these things of this world. You're trying to find joy and a better job. You're trying to find peace with a new person. Come on. You're trying to find all these different things. And Jesus says, none of these things are found in these external places. But it's found in me. I'm him. I, the one, verse 26, speaking to you, I am he. And what's powerful about this family is that this woman was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to be the Messiah. Which I also think is very interesting because once again, he's breaking down some gender barriers. It's interesting because the first person that he revealed himself to be the Messiah was to a woman. The first person that he revealed himself to in his resurrected form was a woman. Could it be that Jesus is trying to send us a message here? That he breaks down stereotypes and these things that culture tries to bring up that cause division and cause to diminish the value of different people based upon who they are, based upon their color, based upon their gender. Jesus says, I have come to do away with all of that because any person who's in Christ is a new creature and all are one in Jesus Christ. There is no longer male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 3. All are one in Jesus Christ. And this ain't some old crazy agenda. No, this is scripture. Because Jesus came to affirm the value and the dignity of every single person. He doesn't make accidental moves. He makes intentional moves. He makes power moves. Because he's him. This is what he does. He don't take orders from nobody. He's not just a boss. He's the boss. He's him. And that's what he's trying to help us understand. And that's what he's trying to help this woman understand. Everything you've been looking for is found in me. I'll say it like this. Jesus came to find us and to fill us. And I just want to know, is anybody here today that just wants more of Jesus? I want to be filled by him. I want to be renewed by him. I want to be resurrected by him. I want to be rescued by him. That fulfillment is not going to come in everything that this world says. No, no, no. You will continue to bring your bucket to the wells of life every single day, feeling empty. It won't satisfy. But Jesus can. And by the end of this account, I'm going to close with this thought. By the end of this account, this woman, here's what the Bible says. Remember, she came at noon because she wanted to avoid people. But then when you jump down a few verses, notice what the scripture says. Verse 28, it says, then the woman left her water jar and went into town and told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Y'all, family, remember, she came to the well with a water bucket. But the Bible says she left it. What does this show us? That she recognized that what she left with was better than what she came for. It's almost like she's saying, I got something better than what I came here for. I got something that didn't just quench my earthly thirst. I got something that quenched my eternal thirst. I got something that didn't just fill my stomach. I got something better that filled my soul. And the Bible says she left her water jar and she went back to the people that she was trying to avoid in the first place. Because when you've been freed by Jesus, you're also freed from the opinions of people. When you've really had encounters with Jesus, you don't care too much about what people got to say about you. Ain't you the same one that had been with Bob, Larry, and Mo, and Jeremiah? And ain't you with home dude right now? Y'all ain't even married. I don't even care. I met a guy who told me about everything. I met a guy who read my receipt. I read a guy who told me all about my sin, but he extended grace to me, and he extended mercy to me, and he extended love to me, and he extended care to me. Could this be the Messiah that we've been looking for? Could this be the answer to the problems that we've been looking for? The very place she was trying to avoid, she goes to. The very people she was trying to avoid, she goes to. And the Bible says this. I want you to turn there really quick. Here's what it says. Verse 30, this is what the Bible says. When she goes to the people, the Bible says this. They left the town, and they made their way to him. They left where they were. Family, remember, she got a questionable reputation. Which means, to some people, she has a questionable testimony. But obviously, there must have been something different about her that day. I don't know what her name is. Let's just call her Susie. I don't know her name is. I'm just, hey, yo, we noticed something different about you. You got a joy that we've never seen you have before. You've got an excitement that we've never seen you have before. You've got something bubbling up on the inside of you. Could it be that living water that Jesus was talking about? That when you get a taste of my water, it causes springs of life to well up on the inside of you to the point where you can't keep it to yourself. There's something different about Susie. We got to go find out about it. Because we're searching too. And what does this help us to see? It helps us to see that not only is there a search happening in our life, but there's people around us that are searching and longing for satisfaction as well. And that God wants to use us and fill us so that through us, other people can experience the filling as well. God didn't just change you and transform you just so that way you can celebrate it. God didn't just send Jesus just to fill you. No, Jesus came to fill everybody, no matter what their color is, no matter what their creed is, no matter how they vote, no matter where they live. Jesus came to bring fulfillment to all people. And the Bible says this in the latter part of verse 42, verse 39. I want to jump down. Here's what it says. Now many Samaritans from that town, watch this, believed in him because of that, what the woman had said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. Y'all, she's excited about the fact that Jesus called her out. Girl, you won't even believe this man told me about the dude I'm with now. But I don't even care. She might got a little hood. I don't even care. He's been so good to me. I got to tell y'all about it. Because y'all been searching too. And if he can do it for me, he'll do it for you too. And the Bible says many Samaritans in that place believed because of her testimony. But then watch what it says. Here's the last thing it says. I love it. The Bible says this. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him. And he prayed and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Y'all see what happened? She got filled. They got filled. I want to help you understand something. Jesus got plenty to go around for everybody. The only thing he says is, bring your appetite. Have you ever gone to somebody's house, got invited to somebody's house, and, you know, out of respect and courtesy, you ask them, can I bring anything? Gone to a cookout, you know, good respect is, can I bring something? Some of y'all are like, I ain't even asking. You invited me. I didn't invite my girl, you know. I'm just going to show and pull up. I'm ready to eat. But, you know, good courtesy, common courtesy is, can I bring anything? Now, some of y'all ask that question. You ain't trying to bring nothing. You just saying it just because you don't. Please don't tell me to bring nothing because where my finances is right now, it's real tight. If you tell me to bring something, I'm going to go in this refrigerator and just find something to bring, you know. But have you ever gone to somebody's house and you asked them that question and they said, just bring your appetite? Jesus is saying this today. Just bring your appetite. Just bring your thirst. I'll satisfy you. I'll fulfill you. Just bring. Bring the totality to who you are. And I just sense that many of us in here, we've been walking through life right now so empty and so depleted and so dry. Thirsty. For many different things. Longing for fulfillment, longing for connection, longing for satisfaction, longing for joy, longing for peace. And you just empty. Some of you here right now, you're just bone dry. Just you tried everything. You tried to fill your life with more alcohol. That led to more problems. You tried to fill your life with more money. Where's the biggie? More money, more problems. You tried to fill your life with better this and better that, but you're still not fulfilled. But Jesus is saying, if you come to me, the search will be over. You don't got to go to all these other places to find fulfillment and to find satisfaction and to find joy. And today is the day I believe that God is divinely set up so that you can experience fulfillment. You thought it was a coincidence that you were here today and you're hearing this message? It is not. Just like it was not a coincidence that Jesus ended up at the well at noon in a place called Sychar in a Samaritan village, even though he's a Jewish man and she's a Samaritan woman, it was not coincidence. It was providence. God set all this up so you could have an encounter with him. And my question to you is this. Are you ready today to experience the fulfillment that only Jesus can give? To experience the wholeness that only Jesus can give? Some of us have been broken because of traumas that have happened in our life. And because of the traumas that have happened in our life, you've been trying to fill the gaps that the trauma has left in your life with different things. So you try to smoke it away, you try to drink it away, you try to sex it away, you try to work it away, you try to earn it away. And it ain't going nowhere, it's still there. You just put a band-aid on it, but it's still bleeding out. Jesus says, but if you come to me and let me fill you, you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. You'll be fulfilled. Which means this, that in Christ Jesus, he is our fulfillment. He is our joy. He is our satisfaction. He is our hope, y'all. He is our peace. And when you can get to this place, family, we say, no longer do I want to try to satisfy myself any longer. I tried. This is not working. But I want Jesus, the great I am. He is him, the lover of my soul. He is the Messiah, the one who came to save me from my sins, the one who raised back to life on the third day to give me new life. He's him. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. Question I want to ask you is this. Have you been looking for fulfillment in places that can't satisfy? Have you been trying to find fulfillment and joy and hope in places that leave you empty? And I'm looking at some of you right here today. Came in here today empty. You've been going out of your way to try to fulfill yourself, satisfy yourself, to find forgiveness, to find freedom. But I'm here to let you know and to declare to you today, today your search can be over. Because even though you've been searching to experience fulfillment, Jesus has been searching to extend it to you. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to satisfy your desires. He came to fulfill you. He came to heal the trauma from your childhood. He came to set you free from these strongholds. He came to forgive you of all of your sin and your transgressions and your iniquity. He came to be your provision. He came to be your peace. He came to bring you joy. He came so that way in him you would experience life and have it more abundantly, so that no longer do you have to try to do it on your own. No longer do you have to try to find satisfaction in a relationship and in a job and in more money and in a better house and a better career. Note that joy and satisfaction is found in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who can satisfy you. He is the one who can fulfill you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, I want to ask you an honest question right here, family. I need you to be honest. Some of you are here today, and you've been trying to find fulfillment and joy outside of Christ. You don't know Jesus. You haven't received this living water, this eternal life that he speaks of through relationship with him. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Edwin, today I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I need Jesus today. I'm tired of trying to fulfill my desires on my own. I need Jesus today. If that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to see you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I just want to see you. I just want to see if this is you. If you're here today and you're saying, I want this. I want this living water that Jesus gives. I want this relationship that Jesus gives. I want this fulfillment that Jesus gives. I want a relationship with him. If you're here on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. Just be honest right now. If you feel something's pulling on your spirit and on your soul, that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's drawing you. If you're here today, I want Jesus. I want to know him in a greater way. I want a relationship with him. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. That's you. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Amen. If you raise your hand and if you're online watching and you're saying, today I want to receive Jesus as my Messiah, as my Savior, as my satisfaction, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith. Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord. Would you be my Savior? Would you fill me with your love? Fill me with your grace. I turn from my sin, and I turn to you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen.